Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as we continue with our PPP sermon series, that is Powerful Prayers of Pentecost, we remember that it's powerful because, well, we're talking directly to God, and Christ, the Son of God, has promised us the Holy Spirit, who comes with power as a result of our prayers. Today, we're going to continue to look at the power of those prayers. But I'd first like to start with a little commentary on life in America or life in the world today. I'd like to take you back to the late 1970s. I was in high school and I was in a journalism class. I was actually the copy editor and the sports editor for the highly esteemed Bronco Roundup High School newspaper. One of the things that we were taught in journalism is that you need to catch the reader's attention. This was done first with a headline. The headline needed to be short, but yet use very catchy language. Won a Wolf Award for an article that we wrote titled "Outward Bound Calls You." Got people's attention. We won an award for the thing. Then comes the lead. It's the first sentence in the story. And again, the emphasis here is short and catchy. Mrs. Martinson told us that if your lead has more than 11 words, you've already lost the reader. Well, let's fast forward now to 2023. Headlines. Shorter is better. Catchy. Extreme language is going to get you the clicks, because we don't really read paper newspapers anymore. We do almost all of it online. And the lead, where we were told 11 words or less, the goal today is 3. Why? Well, because readers have very, very short attention spans, and we like to be entertained. And the result is super hyped headlines and lead sentences in the stories. And another result is that we feel like we're bombarded with catastrophic, so much drama news. And this results in a feeling of helplessness. Everything's out of control. We're doomed. And so we get depressed. Which is kind of like the life of a prophet who had extreme messages. If we look at the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, their message, their headline, their lead was boiled down to one word. Woe. W-O-E, which again is the opposite of the word hope in the Bible. Hope is an assured expectation. We have the hope of eternal life with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ in heaven. It's not wishful thinking. It's a guarantee by God because He sent His Son, who died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, is going to return and take us home. He went through all of that to finish that. We have the guarantee it's going to happen. That is biblical hope, an assured expectation. Woe is assured condemnation or destruction. It's God's extreme message. Repent or die. And what does that look like? Well, if we go to the prophet Amos, He gives us a little bit of a look into how it happens and then what happens when we don't pay attention to God's one line headline. Whoa. Amos paints a picture of privileged wives demanding more. Their husbands want to please their wives, so they get their wives more. But they do this at the expense of others. It's a culture of greed. We always want more, using violence if necessary to get it, all because we are wrapped up with self-pleasure. I want this. I want that. I did that. We end up replacing God with I. And what does Amos say happens when we do that? Well, when you do that, condemnation comes. God allows an enemy to come. And the men are going to die in the breaches of the wall. When the other army comes and they break down the wall, that foreign army is going to come rushing in, and the men are going to be there fighting against them, and they're going to be killed. And then that foreign army is going to come in, and they're going to see all the children and go, children, getting them back to our area? Man, that's going to be way too much work. Kill all the children. Now, the wives, you know what? The wives and the young ladies, why, they're good looking. Let's take them home with spoils of war. And so they would put hooks in their noses, all tied to a long rope. And Amos says, they will be paraded out through the breaches, walking past all of their dead husbands. Wow. About this time you're saying, hey, pastor, these are happy times, happy thoughts. I'm afraid it also is a commentary on today. Because when we look at the news, everything is alarming. We've got climate change. If we don't change it, we're going to die. We've got all the transgender, queer focus on equity and diversity and all of that stuff combined with climate change. And then we got to throw in the critical race theory that our children are being taught, which is just a bunch of bunk and garbage. And then you look at the headlines and you see Ukraine, Russia, China, North Korea, war is imminent. Not to mention the debt ceiling. And if we default, well, it's going to be economic collapse. And I bet you could throw another 50 or so headlines on there. And about now you might be saying, Pastor, yeah, it's kind of like the prophets. How did those prophets make it through? Well, meet Daniel, one of those prophets, one of the great prophets. When we look in Scripture, he is clumped together with Moses and Joseph, two awesome and inspiring servants of God who both went through unbelievably hard times. I mean, their life was on the line, and God told them, trust me, stand in your faith, do what is right, and I will deliver. And he did. And so here's Daniel. This guy that is taken away in captivity by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. And he's of the royal family. In some way or another, we don't know how. He's good looking. He's smart. But he, along with his cohorts, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are now going to be trained in the Babylonian way of life, which includes eating non-kosher food. And Daniel, very calmly, talks to, I believe his name was Arioch, who is the king's individual who's in charge of grooming these potential wise people. And he says, hey, I don't want to defile myself before my God. Could you put us to a test? Let the four of us here, four Hebrew guys, let us eat kosher food. 10 days. At the end of 10 days, judge us versus the other guys. If we look better, then let us keep eating kosher food. And if we look worse, well, okay. We'll eat the pigs. At the end of 10 days, they looked better. And when it came to aptitude testing, they were smarter. They were wiser. Wise enough, in fact, to interpret King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. But yet, so interestingly, when Daniel is brought before the king and he has the interpretation of the dream as well as what the dream was about, because that was the challenge, tell me the dream and its interpretation, Nebuchadnezzar asks him, do you know the dream? Do you know the interpretation? And Daniel says, no, I don't. God does. And God gave me this message. And then gave him the dream, gave him the interpretation. He gave all the glory to God. He was wise enough to know he needed to give the glory to God and not himself. He was, of course, promoted because he was wise enough to be the head of all the wise men. And later, number two in command of all Babylon. He was wise enough to read the writing on the wall when King Belshazzar was having that great feast using the items, the vessels from the temple. He was wise enough when Babylon was overthrown by Persia to become one of the three governors over all of Persia. He was wise enough to know that when King Darius made a decree that you cannot pray to any other god other than himself, Daniel was wise enough to keep praying to the Lord in the open so the other governors and satraps would see him, report him, get thrown in the lion's den, and be saved by God's angel. He was wise enough, as a result, to become the only governor in Persia, because the other two governors and all those satraps, became lion's food. Talk about drama, trials, captivity. Daniel's way up there. What was behind Daniel's success, behind that faith? What did Daniel do? And what can we learn from him? What can we take to heart? And that is my plea. That is my plea this morning. Please take this to heart. This is Daniel. This is one of the big three. He was living in harder times than us. But this is what he did. Number one. He prayed 3 times daily. Prayer is powerful. Number two, he read Scripture. What was the result of his reading Scripture? He's reading the prophet Jeremiah. And I quote, he perceived the number of years that had to pass before the end of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So he looked at the time that they were taken off into Babylon, and he saw it was supposed to be 70 years in exile, And he realized, hey, it's been about 68, 69 years. I better take what I have learned in Scripture and apply it. He took it seriously. And what was Jeremiah's message from the Lord? Whoa, you're going into exile unless you repent. So if you want to come out of exile, what do you think the Lord expects? Well, follow the message of all the prophets. Repent. Acknowledge your sin. Confess your sin to God. Turn from that sin. Learn from the past. And so, number four, Daniel repented. It began by fasting, withholding self-pleasure, self-needs, and putting God first. Number two, he put on sackcloth. Simple, almost like burlap bag. It was the cheapest clothing around. It was the clothing of a servant, and it's his way of saying, I am your servant, O Lord. And he sat in ashes, basically saying, I'm dirt. From dust I was made, to dust I return. Then he started to pray. He took those actions to get ready to pray. And he prayed. We read, then I turned my face to the Lord, all capital letters, God, literally Yahweh Elohim. I am God. He's turning to that God, seeking him in prayer and pleas for mercy. Oh Lord, don't give us what we deserve. That's mercy. I prayed to the Lord God and made confession saying. What did he say? Well, he began just like we saw in last week's sermon with Jesus teaching his disciples to pray and how you address God. Jesus said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Daniel addresses God, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey him. What's he do next? Very next word, we. He doesn't point a finger, they. We. He includes himself. He knows he is also a sinner. We have sinned. We have done wrong. We have acted wickedly. We have rebelled. We have turned aside from your commandments. We have not listened to your prophets who spoke to our, and now please listen to this, who spoke to our kings, princes, fathers. And the people. Notice the progression. Spoke to the king. It's the king's responsibility to preserve knowledge, to lead the people in God's way. If the king won't, the princes, his son, better do it. If they're not doing it, dads, it's time to step to the plate and do what is supposed to be done. Raise your children in God's word. And if they fail, then women, then children. Somebody, for Pete's sake, step to the plate and do what you're supposed to do. So, next comes the reality check. To us, Daniel writes, to us belongs open shame. Again, there's no finger pointing, oh, our stupid king or the stupid prince. To us belongs open shame. We are without excuse. We are really stupid. We are the problem. We should know better. The message was there. We ignored it. Shame on us. But to you, Lord, belongs mercy and forgiveness. Daniel ends this awesome prayer of repentance and confession, still glorifying God. It's all about you, God. To you belongs forgiveness. And so he finishes out by saying, and please listen, oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake. O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. What we need today is powerful Pentecost prayer. And like Daniel, we need to read God's word and understand the times. Be aware of what we are living in. It is a bad time. It could be the time that's leading right up to the very end where Christ returns. But you won't know that unless you read Scripture. But if it is the last days, boy, what is needed is we need to be fervently praying, even if it's not the last days, because this world is a mess. And reality check, to us belongs the shame. It is shameful when we look at the things that I talked about before, so caught up in war and critical race theory and gender ideology and climate change and all of this. We've turned from God and we're on the way to hell in a handbasket. But our prayer to God is, Lord, please, for your sake, show us mercy. Forgive us. We were once known as your nation. May we return to that. Bring us leaders who will lead us in that. Give us pastors who will lead us in that. Give us congressmen, senators, representatives who will lead us in that. Give us Supreme Court justices that acknowledge that you are above the Constitution. Give us fathers who will lead their children in their house and in their neighborhood. For your sake, Lord, forgive us. Have mercy on us. Restore us. So that you may be glorified. Because we're not going to take the credit for the change. Oh Lord, it is you who act in accordance with the Holy Spirit-led prayer of your people. In Jesus' name, amen.